This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Yo, I was going to be eating Magic Spoon during this ad, but I took one bite and the crunch is loud in my head, so I felt like maybe I shouldn't do it in this ad. But that's how much I like Magic Spoon. I want to eat the thing I'm advertising while I'm advertising. Come on. I grew up eating wonderful, delicious, sugary cereal, and it's one of the foods I miss from my childhood. So for me, Magic Spoon lets me dip back into that nostalgic feeling of sitting at my kitchen counter watching Transformers Beast Wars smashing down some sugary cereal. But now, as a grown-up, I can watch the Criterion Collection while slamming down some delicious, healthy cereal with Magic Spoon. We're talking 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. 140 calories a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Build your own box. They got available flavors to build your own custom bundle. You got cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, and cinnamon. I'm a big fan of mixing peanut butter and blueberry, and also coconut and peanut butter. Peanut butter's one of my faves. Fruity Solo is pretty tight, too. I they're all decent. It all depends on what you want. But I like the fruity, I like the peanut butter, and I like the cocoa. All right, go to magicspoon.com/ham to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code HAM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/ham and use the code HAM to get $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, standing 6'2", 294 pounds, from Nassau County, Long Island, the South Shore. It's Johnny G, the number one fuckboy. All you gotta do is trust him, says Jackson Maine. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gamers. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur is not actually here. That was just instinctual at this point. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studio, he has been on the pod before. He was here in the High and Mighty Studio physically years ago, but now we've got him virtually today. It's the fucking creator of Bubble and a podcast legend in his own fucking right. It's Jordan Morris.
That's right. It's me, the number one soy boy, the cuck from Orange County, the sensitive little snowflake.
Oh, see, I thought it said soy bomb on your chest. It says soy boy. Okay.
Oh, no, that's an unrelated tattoo.
That's from when I finally got to go to the MTV Movie Awards or whatever.
Dream come true. But I really like the sub in term soy boy for like a cuck type. So I think it's a lot.
Yeah,
of fun.
No, it works out perfectly. Beans will make you get boobies. Apparently, is the I guess the connection there. Soy milk makes you lactate or something like that.
Oh, nice. I didn't even put that together.
And I might not even be correct there. So as a matter of fact, I think it's a safe guarantee that I am not. What's been going on with you, man? It's been a very specific year, to say the least.
Yeah, it kind of has, huh? I am, obviously, terrible year. We can go ahead and say that up top.
Speak for yourself. My privilege is a fucking shield, brother.
Hell yeah. Thriving, baby.
Working from home, health insurance through a union. Everything's going to be A-okay.
Rewatching The Sopranos.
Yep.
I watched it for the first time. I had never watched it. So.
I got a PlayStation and beat like 5 PlayStation only titles and then started The Sopranos. I had like a 22-year-old's year, more or less.
mine was similarly privileged. I was able to stay kind of moderately employed and no crazy anti-vaxxers in my immediate family. So everybody got their vax and things are looking up, so hopefully bad year will soon be in the rear view, but who knows? So, yeah.
It's funny the way you just said that too, because that's sort of like so many of my friends are in the same kind of boat as me, that they're like the one liberal family member in their like right wing or not right wing, but formerly apolitical, now weirdly very political family. I'm speaking from personal experience here. I don't know about everyone else, but anecdotally, a lot of people whose family was like, yeah, they were never really political. Now they're huge Trump freaks and I'm the weirdo in my family. And every time I talk to one of my friends who's like that, I'm like, okay, how crazy is your family? They're like, oh, they're all vaccinated, but it's like, okay, no one in your family is like that far. Okay, that's a safe level of, I could just argue at politics about politics, but I don't have to worry about like my life being threatened in my aunt's company. Okay, fair.
Yeah, I think something we're learning during all this is that there are like tiers of crazy, and there's like an acceptable, like my, like I have a late in life stepdad.
Shit.
Name's Brad, plays the trombone, a lot of Hawaiian shirts, great dude.
Directs The Incredibles, he's a great guy.
Yeah, gives a great hug, just a big sniffy hug. He and my mom live in Orange County. They're Orange County folks. And I could tell that like he's a little more conservative, and he, you know, like during the like 2016 election was a like, well, I can't vote for either of these clowns type. Like, I think he wrote in John McCain or something like that. And at the time I'm like, that's so fucking crazy. And now I'm like, yeah, sure. Cool.
Yeah, you're like,
on your vaccine.
That is the accepted level of crazy. It's like, or at least the accepted level of disagreement. Okay, that's enough. We can coexist in the same world. And then there's like some family members who are like, do you hear this shit about the black people pretending to be white people to cut off other white people's heads? You're like, I'm sorry, what? They're like, oh, I guess we don't read the same sites. It's like, no, we do not. Yeah. Can't you just be a guy who's like, Hillary, I'm like longing for the weird libertarian dudes now, like those guys who I thought were annoying a while ago. Now I'm like, I miss those guys.
Where's the Ron Paul assholes? Yeah. Like, where are those annoying?
Those
Ron
are the
Paul
people
assholes.
I miss. Where I disagreed and disliked you, but it wasn't because I was worried you were forming a militia to kill my people and my friends. Like,
right, exactly. If you don't have a "where we go one, we go all back" tattoo, you're fine with me.
Yes, that's all that matters. Yeah, that's all I'm asking for. The bar is fucking low in my crew. You mentioned you're from Orange County.
Yes.
As a Long Islander, I think the two are very similar.
I've never been to Long Island. I mean, I think I basically know about Long Island from hearing you talk about it on this podcast, but I think you're right. I think that they are like weird, dark twins of each other.
Yeah, and I haven't spent that much time in Orange County, but since moving to Southern California and meeting a lot of Orange County born and raised people and seeing a lot more OC news and stuff like that, Long Island is very, very similar, at least in my opinion, because it's got that like upper middle class vibe, but it also has the how people live on the other side of that too. Like, it has wealth disparity, and it's like an hour from a mega liberal bastion, but for some reason doesn't have any of that runoff.
It's maybe like if you lived in the mega liberal bastion, but like, were concerned about all the non-white people, there would be a place to move, you know? There's a place you could move.
Yes,
and still get the weather, but...
there's a place you can move where the real estate agents say... Sorry, we keep stepping on
you. No, you go ahead. Yours is better.
We're saying the same joke we're saying. And all the real estate agents say, good schools with air quotes and winks to let you know what that means.
Yeah. And then you high five and go to the Cheesecake Factory. Sure.
Fuck yeah. But there's something about these two places that fit so... They're just weird. And because Orange County is also like sort of... There's beach culture. There's also beach culture on Long Island. So you get the Laguna Beach vibe and the Hamptons, but then you also get like the South Shore and the Encinitas and shit like that. So you get...
Yeah, the like... the like jet ski trash. There's like there's a special kind of like jet ski, you know, like Pennywise loving set.
Flat brimmed, high black socks kind of vibe. Yeah, we have those on Strong Island as well. But we want to talk about LA today because the last 15 months was the longest unbroken time I've ever spent in my home city. I previously traveled a bunch for work or traveled a bunch for pleasure. And so I just spent 14 and a half, 15 straight months, two or three trips to Airbnbs less than 3 hours away from LA. So I've spent I've spent so much time this year in LA and I have fallen more in love with it. And
interesting.
This feels like falling deeper in love with your partner while she's going through like a nervous breakdown, while they're going through a nervous breakdown. I kind of feel like that because it's like LA was a disaster this year, but it made me like her, made me like it even more. Like, I don't know why. And I think it's because I was kind of stuck in it and I felt a kinship with my LA. And I kind of got into local LA issues over the course of the year because it's like I haven't been anywhere else. So I found like a new appreciation or a new like, this is my, it feels more like my city than ever before. Like, and I've only been living here for 8 years.
As a like East Coaster, like, did you kind of move here kicking and screaming? Cause I know it's like a tough move for like New York people.
My wife moved here kicking and screaming. On the other hand, had spent enough time out here doing shows or taking meetings that I had an absolute misrepresented idea of what it was going to be like, where I was like, oh, I'm going to be dropped immediately into Hollywood. Because when you come out for 1 week for meetings,
and someone schedules you five meetings, you're like, okay, well, like every week I'll take five meetings. And of course, a few of those will turn into something. There won't be months and months where I don't work and no one
and
ever
I lose
contacts me.
All my connections, and I have a small fish in a huger pond than ever before, and I'm alone. Like, no.
Right. Yes. Everybody I started with gives up and moves away. So.
It's too real. But I was always ready for LA and enough of my friends moved out here because of comedy that I didn't feel like I'd be. I was also like starting to tour and stuff at the time. So like home felt different anyway. Like I'm like, I'm in New York for like 3 out of 4 weeks every month, like more or less. So it's not that crazy to move for me. And the big deciding factor was I never lived in another state besides New York. I grew up there. I went to school there. I moved there after college to the city. So it was like me and my wife as well had only ever been in New York. We were like, we both work in entertainment. We should live somewhere else. And our friends live in Los Angeles and weed is legal there. So I feel like we found the place we should check out next.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm kind of now used to the idea of legal weed pretty much everywhere. But yeah, LA and California did have legal weed like way before everybody, I guess.
Yeah. When we moved here in 2012, I had my medical card before my wife still makes fun of me to this day. I had my medical card before I had a car.
There you go. Like, yeah, so you went to the strip mall doctor and said you had...
I went to doctor420.com and got fist pounded by an anesthesiologist named Andre that said, congrats, man, you got your card. Nice. My doctor said, congrats, you have anxiety, and fist pounded me.
You want a card to take your dog on a plane? I got that for you, too.
What else? Yeah, what else? You got back issues? I got you hooked up. You want mushrooms for your hamstring pull? Let's do it.
Cheap stereo.
So that was like landing here in LA was like, oh shit. You know, I bought like a Fruit Loops bar that was a 40 milligrams or whatever. And was like, the world is new. And it was
grabbing
like,
In-N-Out burger on the way home. Sure.
I'm like, I love it. I'm like full blown Randy Newman driving in my, my loner car for the day.
So your wife, if you were to kind of characterize her like gripes about it, was it the typical East Coast, like the bagels are wrong, the pizza's wrong, there's no seasons, nobody reads? Is it like that stuff?
It was a lot of like, once we're now that we're being here, it's, I realize the main thing I miss about New York versus LA is the people and like the sense of community you feel in New York.
For
like,
sure.
Every moment you have is a moment shared with like a dozen strangers in a weird way.
Right.
And it kind of is an appealing thing. Like, I do miss like when someone's acting unusual, there are 15 other people looking at each other like, this is unusual, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in LA, you're like, you can walk down Melrose.
Realize at the and then you all realize at the same time you're on Impractical Jokers.
Yeah. I thought these four 48-year-old men looked familiar.
It was Murr the whole time.
What up, Murr? And then you come here and people are strange and you're like, am I the weirdo? You know what I mean? Like the
Sure.
But that's what I've found I love about it. Like, I miss the community feel, but what I do like about LA is individualism is like cranked up to like 1,000, arguably weaponized to a bad degree, but but there's something about like when I first moved here, like somebody told me is like, in LA, you never have to get on a subway where like a 14-year-old kid might say like, what the fuck are you wearing, dude? You know?
Right.
So you're just in your car and then in a restaurant or in your car and then in work. So like you can really step up whatever fucking weird ass impractical, speaking of jokers, impractical ass outfits you want to wear, high heels, boots, whatever. You could be as impractical as you want here. Because in New York, it's like, just wear a black jacket because you're going to get fucking dirt on it no matter what you do. Like, wear boots because you can't wear flip-flops because the subways are disgusting. Like, all these things. But in LA, it's sort of just like it's – and California in general, at least energy is like, the weather is whatever you want to make of it. If you want to wear pants and a cardigan today, you can. If you want to wear a Speedo and no shirt, you can. It's fucking
– Sure, yeah.
Los Angeles rules for that reason. And if you walk
– Yeah.
Depending on your neighborhood, if I walked a full lap in a Speedo around my neighborhood, I live in West Hollywood, I would maybe get some, job offers, but also no one would say anything. Like, it wouldn't be like a problem. It's like, that's just the energy of a place you got to like, where it's like,
you would be the third weirdest dressed person that person saw today.
Right.
Like, they might, when they were talking about the weird people, the weird outfits they saw that day, they, like, might list you in the list, or they might not.
Right. Yeah. And then there was, he was just in a bathing suit. Never mind. Forget him. I'll go back to the spray-painted pink pet pig I saw, which is something I've seen in my neighborhood a few times. A guy walking a pig on a leash, and the pig has a dyed mohawk down its back. It's pretty rad.
Sure, yeah. And he almost gets into a fight with a Jack Sparrow on rollerblades.
And I'm just standing there in a Speedo being like, why won't anyone pay attention to me? Look at me.
Why does no one want a photo with Speedo Man?
I'm at Hollywood Boulevard, lowest rent character ever, Speedo Man.
Right.
Kids, isn't he your
favorite? Everybody loves SpongeBob. Everybody loves Harley Quinn. man, I mentioned this in our email about this, but I love your like Speedo game. I think it's so fucking great. And I've started like swimming. I joined one of these like it's called a master's program. It's just basically like a like swim club that meets a couple times a week and you do a workout together. And I was
captain of my high school swim team.
Were you? That's cool. What was your like event?
I was 100 breast, 100 50 and 100 free relays, and then the 100 or 50 fly in the medley relay, depending on, because it was
cool,
because it was high school, so all the I couldn't do anything over 100 yards, more or less. I've had to do the 200 free a few times in just as like punishment from the coach, but I never did anything over 100. I mean, I wasn't skinny then either. Like, I was still I was hands down the swimming judges called me the linebacker because I was bigger than every other guy on every swim team, because I was 185 pounds.
Being on this swim team, though, they're like big dudes who are so fucking fast, and that's because it's mostly about technique. It's mostly about like how long can you stay in the water, like how you know straight can you make your body in the water.
Yeah, hydrodynamics.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's
baby.
Like Yeah, there's people of like all body types who are like fucking fast. It's cool. It's kind of like a great equalizer, I think.
Well, as like without getting into too much personal history, but like that's how I got comfortable in the water is playing basketball with my friends, playing football and soccer with my friends. I got dominated all the time because I was overweight. But once we were in the pool, I wasn't as sweaty. My knees didn't hurt as much. And it was like, oh, it was the equalizer. And then it was like, that felt so good to me that I got so comfortable in pools and oceans because this dovetails into fucking the Speedo game. I was a t-shirt in the pool kid when I was super young. And then I felt restricted by it in the water. And I was
maybe like, the official pool t-shirt of people our age is like all black XL Green Day shirt, right? with the Dookie album art.
I distinctly remember one time my mom brought my t-shirt to wear was a white Ghostbusters t-shirt to go to the Freeport Rec Center. And it was instantly see-through and way less flattering than just being shirtless. You know what I mean? Where it was like suctioned down. So my nipples looked so brown through my white shirt. And people were like, what the fuck? And I'm like, no, this is worse than being shirtless.
Yeah. And just like opened you up to so many Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man jokes, right?
Oh, yeah. Said, clear your head, Ray. There is no Gabrus, only fat. So you're wearing a Speedo more.
Yeah, so I like when I started the program, I was doing board shorts because I was embarrassed. And I'm like, well, shit, this fucking doesn't work for swimming. Like this, you know, there's so much drag. So I'm like, I got to do it. I got to get a Speedo. And I was like, I felt super weird at first, but now I'm like, you know, kind of confident in it. I can like put on the Speedo. I can like, you know, change in the locker room. Although with COVID, the locker room isn't open, but like in normal times, I could change in the locker room and be comfortable. So I'm like, okay, like I can wear this Speedo at this swim club. Maybe, you know, obviously like fingers crossed going into the summer, there's going to be like barbecues and hangs and vacations and chilling poolside. I'm like,
fuck yes.
Maybe I get a hangout Speedo. Maybe I get a like, maybe I have my exercise Speedo and then I have my like fucking chilling poolside with a Marg Speedo. And I wanted to ask you about it. I wanted to ask where you get yours, if there's a new like pattern you're excited about, and like how do you pick a hangout Speedo?
So it's funny. I feel so strongly about this. I rocked the Speedo in high school swimming, and then more or less when I was a beach lifeguard, we wore like boy cut Speedos, more or less like straight leg box cut Speedos. So I've been in public in Speedos for a long time. I looked a little different in 2001. But in the last couple years, I was just at the beach one day and saw, like, as you've seen growing up, and I saw a fat European dude who was like 55, awful body, like by standards. It just, his body was wildly unflattering. I could safely say I looked better than him. But he didn't seem to be bothered by the way his body... I wasn't bothered by the way his body looked. He wasn't bothered by the way his body looked.
Right.
As a matter of fact, he like was like kind of looked confident in his Speedo. And then it just blasted me in the head that it's like... And I'm a fucking math OCD person. So see if you follow this equation. I putting on a Speedo, looked myself in the mirror. And if I was being honest with myself, I looked maybe 5% less flattering than I did in a bathing suit, in a normal bathing suit. It's like, it's literally just adding a little bit extra thigh meat showing and really demonstrating my lack of bulge. I thought I looked like, if you were doing the math, I thought I looked 5% worse in it, but I felt like 20% better in it. So a net positive of 15%.
That's that's fucking sound reasoning.
And it just worked on me. I was like, I know that I would look slightly better in shorts, at least. And that's all. And obviously it's all subjective. So I'm going for my own opinion. I'm like, I think I look slightly better in short shorts than I do in a Speedo, but I enjoy wearing a Speedo. I enjoy having minimal tan lines. I enjoy swimming in a Speedo in particular, as someone who's on a swim team now, master's team, you understand that. It's like, you can get out in that fucking water and it's easier to move around in a Speedo. And
totally.
All you need is some Australian friends. And the idea of wearing a Speedo is immediately unembarrassing. And I guess we have some, you know, decades upon decades of toxic masculinity that we were raised in and under and around. But like Aussies are as quote unquote macho as they come, these guys, and they all rock budgie smugglers. They're like, mate, you can't be out there in bodies, you know, like pop them off. Like, and it's just that inspired me. So budgie smuggler is like my go-to company now too, because they go up to big sizes. They are super stylish. They have like thousands of different looks, but also are, you can swim in them. And a lot of rugby players wear them as underwear. A lot of the Aussie rugby players wear it as underwear underneath their match kits so that in the locker room, they could all strip down to their budgies while they spray each other with beer and shit.
Man, I have not heard of budgie smuggler.
Just something we could be doing this summer. Jordan, we could be spraying each other with beer and Speedos.
It might happen. It could happen.
I was going to say, the second you said you started swimming, you've got some light swimmer's hair going.
Yeah, I have a my crazy like quarantine hair is even crazier because I've been swimming. So now it's blonde. People ask me if I've been frosting my tips.
yeah, I'm keeping, that's just sun on you, right?
Yeah. I'm keeping a list of what people say I look like. I'm gonna open it up here in my notes app. Let's see.
Oh no.
Bear with me, and I'll try and cite all of these. The comedian Hal Lubland said I'm Yahoo semi-serious. Comic writing partner Sarah Morgan called me Encino Man. Drea Clark called me a Point Break goon.
That's what I was gonna go with. You have light Bodhi hair. I would say Patrick semi Swayze.
And Mark Gagliardi said, lifeguard who lets you go down a water slide head first. And I'll add a Warp Tour roadie. Warp Tour roadie is what I think I look like.
I dig it.
Setting up for 311.
I dig it, man. I really like it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Ooh. Feels, baby. Placing a few drops of feels under your tongue and feel the difference within minutes. Feels, what is it? It's premium CBD delivered directly to your door. You know what? If you're listening to High and Mighty, you are aware how much I love my CBD. And Feels makes high quality CBD that works naturally to help you feel better. No hangover, no addiction. And it's a membership thing. So join the Feels community and you get Feels delivered to your door every month. And you'll save money on every order and you can pause or cancel at any time. I have a few drops in the morning with my coffee under the tongue and then a bigger dose at night before bed, before I brush my teeth. You know, a little under the tongue, a little sublingual, get that flowing through the system. Just, you know, feel a little better. I can't fully place exactly what it does, but I do enjoy the way I feel and the way I sleep with the help of Feels. So become a member and get 50% off your first order. So start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/mighty, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/mighty. To become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/mighty. My microphone might smell like bad breath, but the thing that I'm getting a great whiff of is my beard. Ooh, yeah, because I got my East Rock Botanicals beard oil in. It looks good on Zoom. Makes my beard glisten in a rich, moisturized way on Zoom, so it works for me. So thank you to East Rock Botanicals. East Rock Botanicals, or ERB, is your one-stop shop for beard, face, body, and pube oil. ERB's botanical oils are 100% natural and organic. Scented and unscented versions are available, depending on your preference. The East Rock Botanicals beard oil, beard balm, pube oil, and face/body oil have been carefully crafted with a unique blend of botanical and essential oils that nourish your body hair, while also providing your skin with essential nutrients. Whether you want to tame a wily mane, prevent ingrown hairs, or give your skin a radiant glow, ERB has you covered. So head to East Rock Botanicals and use code MIGHTY at checkout to get 15% off your order. I am a big fan of their beard oil. That's EASTROCKBOTANICALS.com. EastRockBotanicals.com with promo code MIGHTY at checkout for 15% off your order. Mighty is spelled MIGHTY. And if you're wondering how to spell East Rock Botanicals one more time, that's EASTROCKBOTANICALS.com. I like the looks, and this is an, all right, circle back to the topic, LA. I like, and this is a real energy here in LA, I like the looks of people who are like, I do outdoors activities. And yeah, that's something you can do, you know, way more months out of the year in Southern California than you can do in a lot of other places in America, specifically the East Coast where I'm from. So dudes are paddleboarding, women are hiking, like everyone's doing such fucking cool shit, like outside where you're like, you just meet these people who are like, yeah. And because LA is car based and diverse in the type of people that maybe not neighborhood to neighborhood, but like that are, that live in and around LA, there are so many precise niches you can find yourself. Like I was taking Jeet Kune Do before the pandemic. You know what I mean? Like Bruce Lee's martial art. There was a class because it's LA, and you go there and there's like 12 people taking classes. And then you hear like, yeah, I'm a stand up. Oh, I'm a wakeboarder. Oh, I'm a skimboarder. Everyone has like these outdoor activities. Oh, I hike 4 hours every day with my 8 dogs. And you're like, that's a weird life, but that's a life you can live in Los Angeles. You cannot live that life in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Like, I saw, I actually moved to Pasadena recently. I am, you and I used to live real close to each other in West Hollywood, but I moved to Pasadena a couple, about 2 months ago. And there is a robust, like, ultimate frisbee scene out here. Like,
hell,
I've been just kind of, and I saw an ultimate frisbee team of guys who were all, like, you know, guys about our age. Everyone had a ponytail. Everyone had a metal shirt. So I'm like, this is a, you know, late 30s heavy metal ultimate frisbee team. And yeah, that's like a fucking only in LA thing. It's like, sure, all these dudes just and get they, together based and on talk your hair, about Sepultura.
Tried to recruit you, right, with your hair. They saw you walk by with their hair and it's like, that dude could be a captain of one of these teams. We got to bring him in.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, ooh, sorry, I'm a little more,
I'm more
of a punk
guy. And ska.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, punk and ska. Sorry, I don't think I could. Now, if you can find an Ultimate Frisbee team where they all wear Mighty Mighty Boss Toads t-shirts.
Whoop, weird, I found them. Like, how quick?
Yeah, oh, there they are.
Oh, they're right outside our window.
Oh, cool.
They're skanking.
Right. Burns a lot of calories, skanking. It's good aerobic exercise.
That's something that in LA and using the most recent year is a perfect jumping off point, like, when everything closes down, all of a sudden, you know, people are like, when I lived in the city, my city friends were like, I don't know what the fuck to do. I got to get out of the city. And here in LA, I was like,
right,
I'm going to go to the beach, a park, walk my neighborhood every single day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Outdoor dining's a little easier to facilitate here. Takeout, you know, with like the weather being so beautiful, it's never pouring. You can wait in line for shit. Like you can go to the beach, you can hike, you can on the shittiest weather day here, you can arguably still walk your neighborhood like comfortably if you
totally
know. And that's just like something I took for granted before 2020, and then in 2020 me and like my wife would have these moments of gratitude of like moving to California or moving to Los Angeles was the smartest move we made. Like we missed our family this year, which was hard because everybody's on the East Coast. We felt so much that we were separated from them, but at the same time when they were like, winter is depressing, we were like, well, we're going to the beach on March 4th. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're eating dinner in our pod, our friend's yard, the other people in our pod, because they have yard space and it's beautiful for, you know, we did 40 outdoor dinners in 2020. Like, it's crazy to imagine, but you can't do that in a lot of places. So I fell in love with that part of LA. And now, on the LA opening up tip, I'm like, falling in love with LA all over again, because it's like, right, the Hollywood Bowl, oh, the Greek,
yeah.
Like I got, like, you're like, oh, all these things I love, I got to do again. You
sure,
kind of,
I
like,
can go see Tower of Power with a little picnic.
Yes, yes.
I maybe like had a little moment of the opposite, which was kind of interesting for me. Like I moved here right after college. I went to college at UC Santa Cruz.
Go Banana Slugs.
Yeah, go Banana Slugs. A great place. I totally miss it in its own little weird way.
Wait, quick aside.
Please.
Santa Cruz is like my bucket list place. I've never been. And everyone I tell that to is like, dude,
you gotta go.
You're
gotta
gonna
go.
Love it there.
Yeah,
I like seals. Could... I like surfing. I like weed. I feel like it's the perfect city for me to visit.
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel about hand drumming? Playing or listening to hand drumming?
Playing, I don't love. Listening, I got used to that pretty fast in the other subcultures I hang out in.
Yeah. Man, we should do some sort of fucking like podcast thing in Santa Cruz. Anyway, be a fun excuse to go.
Yes, brilliant idea. I'm writing down High and Mighty live in Santa Cruz, and you'll guess.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Totally. So I like moved down here to do TV entertainment stuff, and like it took me a while, but I really like fell hard for LA. Like there's so much fucking stuff, there's so much great food. I love the food here. I'll like stick up for this being the best food city any day of the week.
Here's my nuanced food argument that,
please,
I think New York has a higher batting average for restaurants being good, but LA has more home runs. Does this make
sense? That's good. I like that. Yeah, I think in New York you could safely pop into a little place that looks interesting.
That's what I mean. And that would be
like, yeah,
it'd be like decent.
And I like,
you can grab a slice on the corner and it'll be decent. You can grab a sandwich there and you'll be like, that was fine. But I think LA has some things that are just like transcendent, and then also a ton of great shit. Like, I love the food stuff out here. I just think there's a, like, and I think that'll this will change too here, but I just think New York has more like, I did randomly find a decent slice of pizza or decent insert food item here at every block for, 100 blocks. But LA has like, dude, no one's doing something like this, and this guy's doing it out of his fucking NoHo apartment or whatever.
Yes, this is a rockabilly woman who lowers you a breakfast sandwich out of a bucket.
I've been meaning to go to that woman for so long.
I know, I need to too. I haven't gone either.
I had the Instagram open on my computer, and my wife is like, what are you looking at? And I was like, oh, it's a woman who makes egg sandwiches. Yes, she is a beautiful blonde.
Yes, she looks like a suicide girl, but yeah. I am not on suicidegirls.com. I am on a breakfast sandwich Instagram.
Right.
That
and
just
it's like
happens to
equally
be...
creepy.
Right. Yeah. And yes, I'm masturbating. Okay.
But I'm masturbating because the egg sandwich looks good. Or I didn't even know the woman was there.
Yeah.
Cut me some slack, baby.
And I think LA is so great for like high low too. You know, like obviously you have a corner that has a taco truck that's the best thing you've ever eaten. And then you could, do some, Michelin star stuff.
Hell
that's
yeah.
That's like out of this world. And I know that that's also like part of what makes New York great. And I've never lived in New York, but I like acknowledge how fucking rad it is. And yeah, that thing you said about, shared community and having this moment with strangers, like totally something you don't do that much out here. And I totally understand missing it. Like if you felt kind of dragged out here, I understand missing the 4 a.m. bars and all that stuff.
The 4 a.m. thing is something when you move here at 33, you're like, this sucks. And then at 34, you're like, oh, that's not an issue for me at all anymore. Like the next month it was like, wait a minute, I haven't stayed out till 1:30 yet in LA.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I know.
You said you were feeling some a different energy towards LA during this.
Yeah, I had this moment, and I've always been like a defender. I always like, it's when you live in LA, you got to worry about the New York people and the Bay Area people getting like trapped at a house party with one of those people who just want to corner you and tell you why LA sucks. And you're like, I live here, right? Like, you wouldn't shit on Houston to somebody who lives in Houston. Like, right. Anyway, I remember I was at this, I was at a Thanksgiving dinner, and like a friend of my mom's brought her daughter, who brought her boyfriend, and they were from San Francisco, and the guy ran a brewery in San Francisco, and he just like spent all of Thanksgiving talking about how much LA sucks, like, you know, and then later on in the conversation, we learned that he had lived out here for a year and tried to be a director and failed. So I'm like, well, that's why this dick hates LA, is he tried to live here and, you know, yes. Of course, yes. Have fun with your fucking brewery, you know, like, yeah. So, you know, like that shit always drives me up a wall. Like, I understand not wanting to live here, but also like, don't be rude assholes.
Right.
But I had this moment, you know, that I think a lot of people had over quarantine who live in LA, which is like, what am I doing here paying all this rent? I'm never going to be able to buy a house. Like, you know, is the entertainment industry going to be around? Is it all going to be remote? Should I just, you know, like,
is live, you know, shows coming back something that was keeping me in the city? Is that going to
be a
thing?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah, exactly. One of the great, like, yeah, the like great live comedy scene that's a reason to live here. Will that be around anymore? So, yeah, I totally had this moment of like, you know, browsing for apartments in other cities, browsing for apartments in other states. And it was weird because I had like, since I had lived in LA, I had not like thought about a retreat in that way. Not a retreat. I guess I shouldn't say retreat. Like, if you decide to leave, you're failing in some way, because you're not. No. Just you would like to live somewhere else, and there's many great places. But like, but yeah, it kind of felt like that a little bit. It felt like I was like, I did feel like I was looking for a retreat a little bit. Well, yeah, and it was strange. I was like, I wonder why I'm feeling this.
I think because when you're, you move to and you pay the premium to live in a city so you can do city things. You know what I mean?
Right,
the joke
exactly.
We always make is we're willing to spend a fortune to have multiple Thai restaurants to choose from. That's just like,
sure.
What I like. Choosing to live in a city is like, I'm willing to pay the extra rent so that we have a good Thai place and a cheap Thai place. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Whereas
you
every
have
other
palm Thai and Thai patio.
Exactly. We have June Bangkok and Night Market Song.
Like, sure.
But so but when everything's closed and you're trapped in your and people are trapped in their houses, we were trapped in our apartment, you realize,
yeah,
like, I could be paying a mortgage on a lake in somewhere that would cost less,
right,
than the, and you're also not doing any of the LA stuff that you moved here for. You haven't had an in-person audition or work or a meeting or an, you know what I mean? So all of a sudden you're like,
exactly,
everything I did this last year, I could foreseeably do from a lake in Oregon or a town, like,
yeah,
an apartment in Mexico City. Like, I could, there's a lot of shit you could just do. And that, because not buying a house, we had to, in this quarantine, decide that we weren't buying a house so that we finally took the pressure off ourselves that we were we were feeling so disheartened by the fact that we didn't own a home yet. And then we realized how many of our successful friends also didn't own a home, and it's because we chose this or New York as our cities, and we were like,
right,
this makes, and in this quarantine, and we, now we're like, here's our plan, Jordan, maybe I could sell you on this. We're gonna eventually buy a house, but it's not gonna be in LA. We're gonna stay renters here, and then I'm gonna have an Ojai house or a Palm Springs house that I can, is slightly more affordable, and I could maybe Airbnb, but I can also live there as much or as little as I want. I think that's the answer, because I don't think I can ever afford a house in LA.
Yeah.
So I have to start looking at, like,
Do you know Andy Wood? He did that exact same thing.
No, I don't. But a handful of people have done it. And then you have enough equity to maybe eventually buy a house in LA because you have a $400,000 or $500,000 home. And by the way, that's the level of cheap I'm talking about for any listeners around America and the world. We're talking about looking outside of LA to hopefully find a $400,000 or $500,000 right. three bedroom, two bath house with no amenity, like nothing special about it.
But sure, yeah, that is crawling with scorpions and right. Next to a meth lab.
Exactly. And then I live in West, well, where you used to live too, and there's a one bedroom house for sale on Clinton for $1.4 million, and it's got one
Jesus
bedroom,
Christ.
One bath.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is that for? It's for like a sultan to just have for like equity.
Right. His like dumb kid who wants to try screenwriting for a year. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Andy Wood, he's a comedy writer and podcast guy. He does the Probably Science podcast. And
oh,
yeah,
yes. Yes. Now I know who he is. Yes.
Yeah, so he like moved out to this like great little place in the Coachella Valley. He bought it, and yeah, he's doing writing jobs remotely, and I think the plan is to, you know, come back here every couple of weeks and Airbnb somewhere. And yeah, he's got this like cool, like fashionable little pad out there, and I'm sure people will stay there for Coachella and shit. So
yeah,
I don't know. He's doing it right. Yeah, I think it's not a bad idea.
Well, and therein lies another really exciting, we're talking about something really cool about LA, and this is something my wife was saying for the first few years that we lived here, is that she didn't love LA, but she loved California.
Yeah.
And I understand that also, like, I'm trying to enjoy LA, not in a completely compared to New York way, but it's hard for me not to constantly do this. And it's also a cliche conversation that everyone has all the time,
of course,
at least in my peer group. So I'm embarrassed that I'm still talking about it, but New York City can trap you a little bit. You're like, oh, public transit's amazing. But it's like, hey, you want to go to a beach in Connecticut? And it's like, really? It's like five trains. I got to pack everything. I got to carry it all the way. I got to blah, blah, blah. In LA, it's like, do you want to go skiing? It's a 2-hour drive. Do you want to go to the beach? It's a 40-minute drive. You know, there's some, like, the world, A, because of cars, and B, because of the, like, fucking diversity of environment in Southern California, you can really get weird experience. Like, you can, you know, you can get, with just a 3-hour drive, you could be in a mountain, a desert, or in the middle of the ocean. Like, that's thrilling.
Were you guys cranky about having to get cars? Was that a thing where you're like, oh God, we have to get cars?
I was dreading it, truly dreading it, because I got very accustomed to sort of being half buzzed all the time.
Yeah, I get it. I absolutely, now with Uber and Lyft, it's like not that big a deal to go out in LA and like have a couple drinks. But yeah, in a pre-Uber Lyft world,
when we first moved here, we were the only people using cabs because we were the only people using cabs because we were ex-New Yorkers. And I'm not going to quote the person, but a very funny joke was said by someone. I'm like, it's so weird trying to call a cab to Birds because you can't just say Birds. You have to give them the street address because it's a taxi cab company. And the comedian goes, you guys must be from New York, huh? And I'm like, yeah, why? What makes you guess that? He's like, because you're afraid to drink and drive. And I was like, oh, yeah, that is the most
cowards.
New York thing.
Cowards.
It's like, oh, you didn't live in a city where you've been driving and then started drinking and then continued to keep sort of driving buzzed. It's like, yeah, no, we never did. I never did driving, period. No less. I haven't drove in 10 years, no less drove buzzed. So I'm fucked. I'm not trying to do that here.
You haven't gotten in the car, realized after two blocks you were too buzzed, and then sat at Tommy's for an hour while you sober up.
Just eating chili in your car with the windows closed. Just like, this is disgusting. Cop pulls you over. Is like, whoa, keep driving, brother. Keep driving. Roll those bad boys up. How many fucking Tommy's burgers have you been chowing down on?
Yeah, that's how you beat a DUI in LA. You just fill your car with Tommy's chili burger farts, and then as soon as you open the window, nobody wants to see your registration.
And we understand as white men that it's different. If you're a black person and a person of color with Tommy's chili farts in your car, it could end up being more dangerous for you.
Of course, yes. Again, I think we We acknowledged our wonderful shield of privilege at the top of this show.
That allows
more
you
true to... than ever in this situation.
Hotbox your car full of chili farts, man. It rules being white. Someone's going to pull just that quote from the podcast. I'm going to get canceled off.
But no, in the context of the conversation, it's still pretty bad.
Wasn't much better. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know what? Even if you took into account the context, yeah, pretty bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also, isn't that, yeah, that dude should have been canceled 10 times already. Let's just fucking end him now. Here's a good LA positive question. Here's someone told me, stop asking us how your last year was and start asking us, what are you doing next year? And that is kind of like, that's a fun energy of like,
yeah, I like that.
2020 sucked. It's like, how did you end up? Fuck that. No, let's just say, What do you got on deck when the Los Angeles opens? You didn't move to a $300,000 mansion in Waco, Texas. You are still here in Los Angeles, in Pasadena, technically. What
I
are
guess
you
I kind of did.
To
I
doing?
Did even kind of flee in my own weird little way. Yeah, I did kind of like go to the dorky suburb where every building looked like it's somewhere you'd go on a field trip.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a slight retreat. It's a small audible. But was that enough, honestly, though? Because the stagnancy, like looking at new walls sounds appealing right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like I've been looking at
great.
These fucking walls for a year.
It was great. And my old place didn't have air. So I was like, you know, I Jesus. Spent 8 years in an air conditioner free apartment and, you know, staring down maybe another summer trapped totally inside. So I was
treat yourself to some fucking aircon in Los Angeles.
I know, right? and I know we're being positive about LA, but the apartments fucking suck sometimes. There's a lot of fucking shitty ass apartments out here.
Because those are the ones that people like us can afford to live in.
Of course, yes.
Ones.
That is in our price range is a cool, funky old building that gets to be 110 degrees.
Yeah, that's us. A funky old building in that it was built in 1975 and has a funk to it, like a smell.
Right, exactly.
Because it's like, I think particle board is not supposed to be the roofs of houses or whatever.
Right.
So what do you got on deck that you're looking forward to doing? Do you have a diehard dinner reservation? Do you have like I'm gathering my friends up, putting on a Speedo and drinking a Marg. I want to go to the Greek. What do you got lined up that's Los Angeles specific that you're hyped about?
Speedo and a Marg. Absolutely Speedo and a Marg.
That will be fixed immediately. And I'll wingman you. Invite me to a pool party I'm not even invited to. And I'll roll with you in a Speedo, and we could both, and vice versa. I'll just bring you to a friend's party out of nowhere and be like, this is my friend Jordan. He's training to just be able to hang out in a Speedo, so he came with me.
So don't make fun of his dick, okay?
This is my apprentice. His dick looks better than mine, but my belly's bigger. So just deal with it, all right?
Yeah. What's your brand again? What's your Speedo brand again?
Budgie Smuggler. I'll share their profile with you on Instagram, of course.
I'll take
Shout out to Budgie Smuggler, who's also reblogged my photos of me. And so they lean into the fact that I'd be a model for them. So I appreciate it.
That's great. Definitely want to do some live music. I have this is not till September, but I have a plan to go. I go to something, not yearly, but frequently called Punk Rock Bowling in Vegas. So I've like a downtown Vegas trip planned and just going to like get shitty and see Devo. Very excited for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's I guess that's an LA positive, as you can drive to Vegas and
$110 flight. It's really
exactly, and just get sick of it and swear you're never going again.
Yeah, it's a quarterly trip for me. That exact,
of course,
that exact path. Yeah, we got tickets to see Corbing at the Bowl and Sylvanesso at the Greek.
I don't know what either. What are those?
Oh, I might be saying the first band's name wrong. It's like Korangbing or Korangbin or something like that.
Okay,
they're like a kind of fun, wild K H U R A B. I'm not gonna look it up because I'm lazy and stoned. And then the other one is Sylvanesso, which I know is how you say that because I've been a fan of them for way longer, and they're fucking awesome. It's just two people. It's a woman's a husband and wife. The wife is the singer, and the dude is like the computer and guitar guy. and they are fucking. Nice. They put on a hell of a live show. I saw them on Mushrooms at Bonnaroo, and I fell even deeper in love with them. And now, I've been screaming at my wife. Also, here's something. Here's TMI. They're a classic sex playlist for us. Silvanesso's classic sex album for us. So we're like, we should.
The
probably
album is called. The album is called Classic Sex?
No. No. Not yet. I mean, the mix I put on is I slide the Sex tape in. It's a cassette, of course. Put it in the yellow Sony Walkman, put the headphones on my wife, and I'm like, it's fucking time, baby.
Yeah, you got to see your sex band live. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I know. And just while I was saying, we're screaming about shit to do in LA. Drinking Silver Lake wines at Barnsdall Art Park or whatever. That's a very fun LA activity. Mm-hmm. It's sort of cliche at this point, but it's cliche because it is a fucking fun thing to do, is to drink wine outside with a bunch of people.
Yeah, it totally is. I know. And it's like, and I think that's like maybe something to like be okay with, you know, going into this summer is like, you know, just be a cliche. Just I don't know. Maybe we'll just get drunk at brunch and, you know, and maybe that's fine. And I know that this is some stuff maybe we're supposed to be over or, you know, feel bad about in some way. But like, I don't know. Maybe let's just have a fucking cliche summer where we do stuff because it feels good.
I like it. Let's get you heard it here on High and Mighty. Gabrus and Jordan think you should have a basic ass summer. Enjoy your
basic
fucking self.
Chuggy, right? Isn't that
get chuggy, baby?
Make it chuggy.
Instantly out of our leagues talking about get chuggy with it, man. Like, okay, what?
All right, shut up.
This
you just
and
talked
the
about the Mighty
privilege
Mighty boss
shit?
Tones earlier, asshole. You don't know what this means. No way you know what this means.
Yeah, but I'm trying to get to the beach. I'm trying to.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, you know, be in a multiple person smoking sesh rather than such a solo or just me and my wife.
Yeah.
Like I look forward. I went to a live sporting event this week.
Where'd you go?
I went to the new stadium, the SoFi Stadium, I think it's called, or SoFi, whatever. The one down in Inglewood that they just built. It was cool. I saw a rugby match there. They were at like super low capacity, but I did cheers three buddies, four beers. Like, it was just like, this is new.
We did it.
Yeah, look, holy shit, we're back. We're watching live sports, cheersing beer. And I'm like, I did bring BYOJs, though. Not ready to share joints with anyone just yet. I've got to
baby steps. You know, maybe you still wear the mask in Target. Baby. Maybe you still smoke your own joints. Yeah. You don't want to get the bends.
I'm not ready to fucking perform yet either. I'm not ready to like jam into the UCB and like.
Oh yeah,
that's
especially those like tiny ass comedy venues. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't performed at something that wasn't considered an illegal basement or back room in 10 years. You know,
right?
I'm exclusively in rooms that are COVID nightmares. It's like there's no ventilation. The ceiling's 4.5 feet tall, and the stage is right next to a highway. It's like, okay, good luck up there, Gabrus. You got four minutes. Have fun.
This is technically a supply closet that we're in.
We added a fan, though, because of COVID, so it should be a little... It's going to be impossible to hear, but it'll be easier on everyone's lungs. anything else? Is there a restaurant that you're, like, dying to eat inside of that you haven't been to in a long time that you're like, this will be a big seal break for me? Or even a place to have a pint or whatever, or a drink, wherever?
Gosh, yeah. I mean, I can't wait to go back. I mean, God, I haven't found like, I don't have any places in Pasadena that I'm like emotionally connected to yet, but I like can't wait to go back inside Tom Bergen's. I can't wait to go back inside Molly Malone's. Though the Kibitz Room at Cantor's, that's when I'll know that the world is back. So Cantor's Deli, a great place that I will stick up for. One of the reasons they're great is that they have a bar connected to them called the Kibitz Room. There'll be like fucking eight old guys playing Steely Dan covers there, you know, on it's any given night.
There's multiple canes there any night.
So many canes.
Multiple people on canes and getting lit, and people drinking fucking like Jack and Cokes and shit and Budweiser bottles. I love the Kibitzer. And now we're talking as two people, like, because I'm a Cantor's defender too, but that's definitely some regional neighborhood specifics too. Because I love being able to walk and get a Reuben. It's like, you start to be like, this place ain't actually that bad that it's that close. And the Kibitz room.
Yeah.
I used to go to, what was the bar that was on the east side of the street? You would go there for like one or two it was like a little fancier. And then you'd be like, let's just go across the street to the Kibitz room. What are we doing with a fucking table? Let's just go in there.
What was that place?
It was like Rosewood Tavern.
Rosewood Tavern, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, it was the name of the street over there. So I was like, in my head, I went, Clinton Tavern, Oakwood Tavern. I'm like, wait, there's one more street. I can't remember.
Yes,
Rosewood, the other one.
So that's a place where you would go and they would do like, you know, a barrel-aged old-fashioned. And then you pay $15 for that and you're like, fuck it, I want a short glass of Michelob from a spigot.
I'm gonna $2. Go across and get a Crystal Palace and tonic for $2.50 in a Friendly's sweaty little drink glass. They have the perfect little like deli glasses that they give you for their cocktails.
They sure do, don't they?
We'll make a half promise here on High and Mighty. Keep an eye out on mine and or Jordan's IG. For the picture of the two of us cheersing at the Kibitz room. Because the first time you come, if you're making the journey from Pasadena to go have a drink there, I will make the journey from 8 blocks away to have a drink there with you as well.
Oh, what a guy.
that's the kind of guy I am. I'll go into
Thank
a bar
you.
I
Thank
love
you.
To
what
have a
dude.
Drink if you come to my neighborhood.
If it's close.
And I'm not busy, obviously. I'm always busy.
Right, of course, yeah.
I need an hour. I don't actually want to do this.
How about you? What are your like spots that you can't wait to go back to?
Ooh, this is not even a place I love, but I just do like going inside of it, and that's El Compadre on Sunset, where they light the margaritas on fire. It's kind of like one of the first places I went to in LA, and it really just feels to me. I attach so much like Hollywood LA energy to it, whether it really is that or not. And I want to take my wife to because she hasn't been. To Dear John's, which I had been to before the pandemic.
Dear John's is great, yeah.
And we're a big, the big meal, our coming out meal, the first meal we're going to eat inside a restaurant, we still haven't done that together yet, will be at Craig's, which is sort of like our neighborhood.
Nice.
We like those, she in particular, which means I now do as well, like those restaurants that are sort of old-timey and the vibe is like, it's expensive, but the food is good and and the waiters are all 45-year-old men. Like, you know, or something.
Sure.
Like grown-up adult men and women, you're like, I'm happy to, like, so Dear John, Musso and Frank's, like all those places.
Yeah.
And she hasn't been to Dear John yet, so having gone there right before the pandemic hit, I can't wait to go back.
Yeah, Dear John is like it's like an old steakhouse. It's in a building that is set to be demolished in 2 years.
Yeah,
so
it's got like a finite timeline. Yeah,
yeah, and like everybody waiting on you is like a professional service industry person who like prides themselves in like this is my chosen profession, and I will
I'm not here to maybe be a writer while I'm a server. I'm here to be a server. Yeah, that energy.
Right. Yes,
I just like respect that energy. It's like
me too.
Goes hand in hand with the little crumb comb that people use on the tables. Like I feel like the little crumb blade that if somebody comes by and crumb blades your table, you're at like an old timey kind of old fashioned spot, and I dig that.
Yeah, I'm a messy eater too, so I can really give a crumb blade a run for its money.
I'm a huge messy eater, and that was a running gag on my bachelor party. My brothers would move because we ate every dinner absolutely smashed because it was. We were in Munich, Germany for Oktoberfest. And every meal, my brothers would move my plate and go, look at where he sits. And it's like the circle of the plate is the only place that there's not like stains and food. It's like all over the floor, all over my shirt.
There's a separate meal embedded in the tablecloth.
Yeah, you can like pick up the plate and it's like a stencil of a perfect circle in the middle. It's like, yeah, I'm a disgusting pig. What do you want from me, sweetheart?
This is so I like, you know, so I am someone who likes a drink. I don't know if we've ever gotten like super fucked up together, but I, you know, like getting super fucked up every now and then.
Same. I'm sure we've both been in the same location bombed, but we never set out for the two of us to get drunk together.
Right.
But I feel like due to overlapping parties, at some point we were blasted in the same place.
Makes sense. And I like, you know, and I'll obviously also acknowledge that perhaps there's times in my life when I've liked to drink too much and it affected my career and relationships.
Safe to say that as well. Mostly smoke pot now because of that exact reason. Continue.
And when, you know, when COVID hit, I would be like, all right, well, you know, time to like learn how to make the fucking old fashioned at home and time to, you know, whatever, barrel age the whiskey myself. And I, when I would have those like solo drinks at the end of the day, I'm like, this sucks. I'm bummed. I'm only experiencing the sad part of drunk. I'm not like having any fun, like sitting with this cat and watching Family Feud, you know? And so I basically just stopped any and all drinking. Like, there would be times when I'm like, all right, everybody, Zoom happy hour, and just like pour a seltzer and, you know, not drink. And I was kind of like, do I maybe not drink anymore? Like, is this, you know,
is this my thing? Is this a thing now? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this a sign that it's over? And I like, you know, kind of ventured out to my first bar. I met some friends up here at this place called Lucky Baldwin's. It's like their Pasadena beloved dump. And I like had a Guinness and talked to friends and I'm like, oh good, I love this. Okay, good. Okay, I still love this. Yeah. Oh good. Okay, I'm a social drinker. I like this when it's social. Oh, thank God. Okay. All right.
Dude, you're preaching to the motherfucking choir. I cut off drinking at home for myself, more or less, because I enjoy social drinking. I can easily drink too much by myself, and that sets me more. I stopped really drinking at home in the quarantine. I only drink when I'm partying now, or like when it's like, so that's like my little game I play. Like, I'll have a Guinness pint out with friends, or I'll get bombed, you know, a quarterly or something like that. But I have now smoked weed for maybe 395 straight days, which is an insane record for like I should do the math, because it's been since like March 13th, 2020. I've probably consumed THC every single day in some capacity, which is
okay.
Maybe like, so I'm like, yeah, I finally figured out I should cut back on drinking at home and pick up on smoking weed like crazy. Sure. But it was. I wasn't getting depressed. I mean, God knows what I'm doing to myself from it, or what kind of self-medication I'm secretly doing to myself. But what I was not waking up in a depressed cycle where I would only feel better once I started smoking pot again. Like, when I was drinking, I'd wake up feeling like such shit and I wouldn't feel better until the nighttime. And then I'd be like, oh, good, now I can have some drinks. And then I'd be like, wait, you just, I felt good for 40 minutes. Let's fix that.
Like, yeah.
I don't want to be thinking about how I feel. Let's power through.
Yeah, sure.
But that being said, can't wait to drink with you at the Kevin's room.
It's going to be awesome. There's not an undercurrent of sadness to this at all.
Nope, never.
Never.
There never has, never will be. Okay, shut
no
up.
Self-awareness. No self-awareness. Trapped in a cycle. Trapped in a cycle.
It's for fun. I promise it's for fun.
Sure. I'm just a party animal.
It's just still cool. This is my kind of vibe. I know I'm 39 and like the doctor says like you really should lower your blood pressure, but holy fuck.
Sure. but I think I, you know, optimistically, I think that I am kind of going into it, you know, going into a world where maybe I can like have some drinks again with a new perspective. I think I kind of get, you know, when I get bummed and when I have fun, and I think I have a little bit of a better understanding on like how it affects me. And my tolerance is way, way down. So, yeah, yes. I think maybe, maybe I can kind of stay at the, you know, at the two drink level. We'll see.
Well, that's not a bad plan. That's how I feel too. I feel like the recalibration of like taking the year and looking at like my behavior and seeing the positives of not drinking will allow me to not just like get caught up in it again. I also at some point have to prove some sort of no, I'm not addicted to cannabis thing to my own self. I have to like take a tolerance break of like at some point a few weeks just to prove I can do it. And I keep punting it. I keep being like, well, I got vacation in May. It's like, all right, well, maybe I'll do it. Like, I'm trying to time
August,
it. I'm like,
August, that's the month. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like August will be the month I take off, but I, you know, maybe I'll start August 10th. Cause you know, you want the beach weed, you know, it's like, wait, all right. Never
yeah,
mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. I,
I'm going to take
20th,
off like,
that's the day.
Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And that's it. Like, some Jordan, thank you so much for fucking coming on High and Mighty, man.
Yeah, thanks. This is so much fun. I always love dicking around with you. It's a blast.
Yeah, dude, I always have fun talking to you, and I look very forward to chatting in person in Speedos or at the Kibitz Room.
Let's do it. Or maybe both. No one will look at us weird. No one. We will be the third and fourth. We will be the third and fourth weirdest guy in there, clothes wise.
Wait, do we like the Kibitz Room because we're the young dudes hanging out there when we go? Is that part of it? For sure.
Honestly, I could spot five people I'm doing better than. Right. At least I don't have something weird going on with my eye. There's a lot of guys here who have a weird eye.
Maybe chicken or egg. Maybe it's hanging out here that does. Oh, my God, my eye. Sure. What's happening? No, I got to get out of here.
It's oozing a milky whiteness.
Where can people find you? And if any LA residents want to respond to the tweet of this episode with the thing they're looking most forward to doing this summer or in the next coming year,
that'd be awesome.
That might inspire some other LA people or SoCal people. Or you know what? Fuck it. Reply with wherever you are, what you're looking forward to doing. But
yeah, do it.
I'll only read the LA ones because I'm a fucking coastal elite.
Speaking of cool shit that's happening this summer, I co-wrote a graphic novel that's coming out July 13th. It is called Bubble. It is a sci-fi comedy based on the podcast we did at Max Fun from 2018, although you don't have to have heard the podcast to enjoy it. It's a sci-fi comedy. It's kind of a satire of this world where people live in these bubble cities and they all have to participate in this kind of life and death version of the gig economy to survive. maybe the lazy elevator pitch would be Search Party meets Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hell yeah. Sold.
Yeah, there's a bunch of sex jokes and robots and monsters and gore. I co-wrote it with the great comedy writer Sarah Morgan, and Tony Cliff, who does the Delilah Dirk series, did all the art. So the fighting is fucking super cool. If you have read the Delilah Dirk series, you know that like Tony's action is awesome. And Natalie Reese did the colors. She does the Dungeon Critters series. And so, there's a bunch of like alien worlds that are all kind of like psychedelic and Jack Kirby. She does a great job with all the colors.
Cool. And people can pre-order that shit. People can pre-order right now, maybe?
Yes. Yeah, totally. You can totally. That's a huge thing for books I'm learning, is that if you pre-order it, you can call your local indie bookstore. You can call your local comic book store, and they'll pre-order it up for you. You can use Amazon or Barnes & Noble if you like. And hey, if you're in LA, and if you get it through BookSoup, I'll sign a copy for you. So
If
you're not in LA, they ship. They ship anywhere in the world. So hit up booksoup.com, and you can get it there.
Fuck yeah. Get the book, pre-order it. It's a graphic novel. It's not a hard read. It's not expensive, but it's going to be funny and fucking beautiful. Get on it, people.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Thank you. Yes, that is what it is. That's a better plug than what I did.
Well, you gave the steak. I got to slap a little sizzle on at the end there, you know? But
thank
like
you.
The
I
steak
appreciate
isn't
that.
The steak is what you're paying for. The steak is
sure.
What you're,
yeah, this is the just the garlic what, butter. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the garlic butter. Perfect analogy, dude. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. I have another podcast called Action Boys, where you can pay on Patreon, but we also have some free episodes. Search that wherever. And the Gino Lombardo Show Season 3 coming out this summer. Get pumped. Promo code Gino gets you one free month. Wait until Season 3 drops so you can listen to a few of my episodes. I don't give a fuck about the other shows. Okie dokie. I think that's what Stitcher asked me to plug specifically. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow, body.
Someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!